Good morning, and welcome to the session on Cortana Analytics for Revenue Forecasting. My name is Matt Connors, and I'm a Principal Program Manager in the Algorithms and Data Sciences Group. And my background is in finance. I'm a finance person. I also have a background in statistics, worked in the financial services industry and various finance analytics roles here at Microsoft. And we work very exclusively with different groups at Microsoft Finance on revenue forecasting. And I'm joined today with Gagan Bansal.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gagan Bansal. I work in the data science team here at Microsoft. I've been collaborating with our finance organization over the past year, involved in a lot of projects around revenue forecasting, and I'm excited to share some of that work with you all today.
Great. Yeah, so we're going to be talking about forecasting, and forecasting as an essential component of many managerial decisions today. And when forecasts go wrong, the consequences can be grave. For example, Walmart is in the news having missed its earnings estimates for the last two quarters. And the impact on its stock price can be seen by looking at a six-month chart. Companies, investors, and company shareholders want to know the forward-looking revenue of a company so they can make an informed investment decision. And then the sales organization in that company wants to be able to track, are they on track to be able to meet that revenue that the Wall Street investors are expecting. And the manufacturing group in that organization wants to know how many units do we need to produce to have on store shelves to meet that revenue that the Wall Street investors are expecting. So it's an important process. The impact is severe. It's hard. But today, it's a very manual process. I've worked in finance in the past. And it involves many companies still use spreadsheets. And they're copying and pasting cells between workbooks, between tabs, using VLOOKUPs, linking to spreadsheets on servers. And we can all imagine the problems with that. It's prone to error, and I've witnessed the repercussions when there's a copy and paste mistake. It takes 2 days to reconcile. It takes time. In many cases, it takes days to create forecasts, and sometimes weeks. And that results in companies forecasting on a quarterly basis sometimes, when it would be really valuable to be able to forecast on a monthly or a weekly or even a daily basis. But with all that manual work, you can't do that. And third, humans are involved, and there's human bias. And there's judgment involved in these forecasts. And judgment plays a role in forecasting, but pure judgment has its challenges. So with that, I wanted to tell you what we're going to be talking about at today's session. We're really going to talk about three things. We're going to make it very tangible, real world. We're going to hear from George Zinn, who's a corporate vice president and our treasurer, who has fiscal responsibility for over $100 billion of revenue, to share his perspective on advanced analytics and machine learning and how he manages his organization. Then we're going to share with you some experiences of the work we've done using Cortana Analytics to do revenue forecasting for other groups within Microsoft. And we'll show you a demo, and we'll be able to drill down a little bit on that. And then we're going to hear from a partner who has a financial planning application who has implemented machine learning-based forecasts inside their financial planning application. So those are the three topics we're going to be talking about today. So with that, let me introduce George Zinn.
Thanks, Matt. All right. Okay, so I am on the business side of things here versus necessarily the what I would call the analytics and the number crunching relative to Cortana. And I'm just curious with the audience here, so I know how to speak to it, what's sort of the cross section of folks? Are you guys primarily partners? If you're a partner, would you raise a hand similar to Anthony here? Okay. And then in terms of those that didn't, does that put you in the camp more like Matt or more like myself? Which one? Okay, great. All right, so I think I'm really talking to you and you here. The truth is that my job is all about trying to get the numbers right for my manager, the CFO. And at the end of the day, the CFO really uses the numbers that we provide to, talk to the street, as Matt alluded to with the Walmart example, and give a forecast on earnings that's a forward-looking projection. There's also a myriad of other things that might sound a little mundane but are pretty important and personal. For me, is having enough money on hand to pay our bills, which, as Matt alluded to, we have, over $120 billion in assets, but a lot of our assets are offshore. And so we invest those assets, and yet we're borrowing money in the U.S. to pay our bills. And so it's really important for us to get our cash flow forecasting done well. And if you go back a few years, we're not immune to some of the things that Matt pointed out. We're heavy Excel users, particularly in finance. In fact, I can recall doing a report for our former CEO in Excel that should have been in Word, and he congratulated me, said I was in the right job at the time. But the point here is that it is subject to a lot of human error and human bias. A great example is when you look at our worldwide revenue. Microsoft has a myriad of SKUs, if you're familiar with our products, which I'm sure as partners you are. And we have to essentially aggregate and sum all of that up in a way that projects revenue out into the future. And that's a challenge because really when you're doing a bottoms-up forecast, you start with the CFO of the country sales subsidiary. And that CFO is not only responsible to our CFO, but he's also, or she is also responsible to the essentially the GM or the president in certain cases of the larger country, and their sales forecast that they're held to and their bonuses are tied to. So as you might imagine, totally appropriate incentives are designed into the sales forecast where the salespeople like to sandbag. It's, common language, in order to get a forecast that they can beat so they can get a bonus, right? I mean, that's just human nature. And so you have these countervailing forces against accuracy as well as gaming a forecast. Now, the challenge for my manager in that situation is when you roll this up and you start adding up, let's just say, all the sales of SharePoint in Kazakhstan, and aggregating that globally, you've gone through about six layers of management. And when I, for example, as the CFO of a country, apply my intuition even, and I say, oh God, I know we've got problems in Russia. I know we've got problems. We've got issues, we've got currency issues, we've got pricing issues because of the dislocation associated with, some of the things that are going on in the Ukraine. So I have to I agree with the salespeople, so I'm gonna drop it a little bit. So I send it out to my manager. My manager looks at it and says, yeah, boy, I know we got issues, so I'm gonna haircut it a little more. And then so on and so forth when it finally gets to central planning. And central planning says, yeah, I'm looking globally at geopolitics, and my the Central Europe forecast should be probably slightly lower. And what you end up with at my manager's level is getting a single number, a point, which is really challenging because if you have one point, it's closest to the pin, and you end up with saying, okay, I don't have a frame of reference for this point, and I don't have a sense for the intuition that's been applied. It may be great intuition, by the way, but I just don't understand what's gone into it to get to me. And so what we've had the benefit of over the last couple years at Microsoft is a parallel process where we have another data point for the CFO. And the other data point is essentially generated off of Cortana Analytics. We call it machine learning internally. And it is really an objective data point. It takes in external information. So in our case, as you might expect, we get the IDC forecast on PC shipments, right? We put that in, we put in some other information in, not intuition, but information in. So what is the seasonality been? What are certain other things that are going to affect that? And that all goes into the machine learning forecast that gets generated in parallel with the forecast for the, from the sales subsidiaries that gets rolled up as I described. And that has really provided, and not only that, I would add that this machine learning forecast isn't a point. You actually have a distribution, which is far more useful. And from my perspective, I teach at the U in the computational finance program. It's far more useful to understand the distribution, understand what the range might be, and the sensitivity and the confidence level that you might apply to a range than it is to get a single point. So when you have those two data points, you can say, I see where they're coming from on this one, or I see how the manager on top of the manager on top of the manager on top of the manager ended up biasing this way down. So I'm going to be, if I listen to that, I'm going to be way under what we're probably going to look like, at least compared to the machine learning forecast. And it's been particularly useful for us when the machine learning forecasts have shown us turns are in the data sets. I call them turns, but essentially changes in direction. And those have been super useful because we as humans tend not to predict any changes. We tend to extrapolate on a line going forward because we have no other frame of reference. And so really what I was trying to describe to you is how we've been using machine learning to help us do our jobs better in a way that makes us look better to our boss, generally, which is a lot of our goals. And hopefully that gives you a sense of a tangible proof point as to how this can be helpful for either your customers or your business, or as in my case, my manager. So thanks, Matt.
Great. Thank you, George. Very valuable real-world insight into how Cortana Analytics can be used in a forecasting scenario. So let's switch now to drill down a little bit deeper on how our team is using Cortana Analytics for revenue forecasting in a couple of scenarios. So first, let me talk through this slide. You've seen this over the last day or so a couple of times, so I won't spend too much time on it. But the idea here is that we have a platform that can take data, turn it into intelligence, and into action. And there are a lot of pieces here that make that happen. I just want to make two comments. When I look at this slide, I think about a quote from Walter Wriston, who was the CEO of Citibank, and he said some 40 years ago that at some point, the information about transactions will be more valuable than the transactions themselves. Now just think about that for a moment. So what we're doing is we're taking data from our transactional systems, we're using Azure Data Factory to bring that data into the cloud, combine it with a number of different data sources in a very easy to use fashion, store it in SQL in the cloud, and then run multiple different machine learning forecasting algorithms to try to reduce the forecast error. And if you think about the idea that if you miss your forecast, a company can lose $40 billion of market cap in a day, you can believe what he says, that information about a transaction can be more valuable than the transactions themselves. So we are working across Microsoft using Cortana Analytics to forecast our revenue. And what we're hearing from customers and from Microsoft in our finance department is that there's two major pains. Number one, it takes too long, and the forecasts are biased. They're biased because of the judgment that George was just talking about. So we're using forecast models in machine learning from the state-of-the-art models that they've been talking about for the last day or so. We're combining it with internal data and external data. And what we've been able to see is that we can reduce the forecast error, or another way of saying that is improve forecast accuracy, over these existing manual processes. Now, it's not a universal statement. It works in some areas, but in some of the big revenue categories, we've been able to achieve that, which is why, as George said, the CFO likes to look at this forecast in parallel with the judgment-based forecasts. The second thing that we're able to do this really fast in a matter of hours. And this compared to a forecast process that literally takes weeks. It literally takes weeks for Microsoft to come up with a forecast. So we've been able to achieve that faster time to market as well. There's a notion that has been discussed in machine learning that more data beats better algorithms. It's kind of a controversial statement, but there's some truth in that as well. And the thing that we're working on is we believe that through this Cortana Analytics, it's very easy to bring in diverse internal and external data sets, combine them, mash them up, join them, and then run them through models to find if there's any signal. So the types of things that we're doing are, we're looking at product launch information to see if looking at previous product launches, does that help improve our forecast accuracy? Looking at promotions, $50 off promotions and bundled promotions and accelerators for channel partners, if that helps refine our forecasts. We're taking data from our CRM system, looking at the sales opportunity pipeline to see if that can improve our forecast accuracy. And we'll go through an example of how we've done that. And another thing that we want to do is we want to look at how changes in channel strategy can improve our forecast accuracy. And then on the external data, looking at what is being said on the internet about your company, your company's products. Looking at stock market data, look at indices as an indicator of the health of the economy. It's a very real-time indicator of the health of the economy. Looking at companies' prices. For example, just think about an automobile manufacturer. There's probably a correlation between tire manufacturers and automobile manufacturers. So if you could look at those correlations to see if there's any improvement in the forecast. Looking at macroeconomic indicators. We've done some work to build interface to the FRED, the Federal Reserve Economic Data database. So it's very easy for us to look through over 220,000 different time series to see if there's any patterns that can improve our forecasts. And then finally, looking at product quality and sentiment from people on the web. So with that, let me now transfer over to Gagan, who's going to take us through work he's doing with forecasting for services revenue.
Thanks, Matt. So I'll be demonstrating an end-to-end operationalized pipeline for revenue forecasting that we have been using internally here at Microsoft, of course, using the Cortana Analytics Suite. And the scenario here that we are going to present is a very common one. So typically in an organization, you'd assume that there is a sales organization that it's talking to the customers, it's maintaining all the opportunities that with the customers in some kind of a database, some kind of a CRM database like Dynamics, Salesforce. But more often than not, you find that the finance team, which is responsible for generating the revenue forecasts, is unable to use this information in a meaningful way when they're generating the forecasts. Be it the data is hard to access, or be it that there are insufficient tools that they can easily bring their data into generating the revenue forecasts. So the scenario we are going to show here is, can we use some of that customer opportunity pipeline data to improve revenue forecasts? So let me go to the demo. So now let's think that we set out with an experiment with, we want to use this pipeline data to improve the revenue forecasts. The way we progressed on this was, we took a snapshot of this pipeline data, put it up on Azure, and then loaded it in Azure ML using this reader module. Okay. Sure. Okay. So yeah, once we start experimenting with this pipeline data, we loaded a snapshot of this onto Blob storage, and then we use the reader module in Azure ML to bring that data onto Azure Machine Learning. And you might have heard this a few times, but Azure Machine Learning is a machine learning platform that lets you build machine learning workflows on the cloud just using a drag and drop interface. So let me just center this. So here we're using modules called Execute R Script. So Azure Machine Learning lets you bring any R script, and you can run that R script on the cloud. So here we're using R script to shape the data. Also, we are here using R script to generate the features in the data. So now intuitively, you would think that this is the pipeline data. You are trying to forecast the revenue that you will land at the end of the quarter. Can you use the dollar amount of the opportunities in different stages? So can you say that take the dollar amount of the deals in which you think have a 20% chance of closing in the quarter? Can you take the dollar amount of the deals that have 40% chance of the closing in the quarter? Can you use all this information, maybe also use the budget, as features into forecasting this revenue? And here again, we are using R scripts to generate the features. For modeling, you can experiment with a variety of regression models here. Azure Machine Learning provides a lot of state-of-the-art built-in modules. In this case, we are again using R. We're using GLMNet package in R to build the models with a five-fold cross-validation. And the once you have done your experimentation, the final output of this is a trained model. And the way you could save, just hit right-click, and you can save this trained model in your workspace. So now you have trained a model which, from historical data, which looks at the pipeline-based features and forecasts revenue. And now the next task would be, how can you use this in an operationalized way, meaning you would want to use this model to run every month, for example, or every week, for example, and using the model that you have trained, generate the forecasts. So for that, we set up a scoring experiment. So this is the scoring experiment. It looks very similar to the training experiment in that it essentially starts with reading the data, extracting the features, again using R scripts. But the main difference being that you're not training a model, but you're using a model that you had trained earlier. So this here is the output of the previous training experiment, which you saved to your Azure ML workspace, and you're using that in your scoring experiment to generate the forecasts. So now here you have a scoring experiment which takes in data using the model that you have trained, generates the forecast. Now how do you automate this process? So for that, we expose this experiment as a web service. So here we have created a web service which basically can be called from any, it's a publicly available API. You can call it from Excel, you can call it from any existing tool or any of the existing systems. So now we have set up an operationalized pipeline using Azure Data Factory. So while this loads up, Azure Data Factory is a tool, is a pipeline on Azure that you can use to orchestrate data workflows. So you can use Azure Data Factory to say, bring the data from a SQL server on-prem, get it to Azure, call this Azure ML batch service that we just created, take the forecast and put the forecast back in some SQL server, while also show the forecast in a Power BI dashboard. So this is, I mean, again, it offers a simple drag and drop interface like Azure ML. So here, we have what we call as activities. So here, for example, we start with activities to copy the data from an on-prem SQL server to Azure. This is an activity we call to call the Azure ML batch service that we just created. And finally, we are writing the forecasts back. Sorry, think. This. So we have activities here. I think there is some UI issue here. There are some activities here which you can use to put the forecasts back in a SQL server while also show them in a Power BI dashboard. So here is a Power BI dashboard that is a very simplistic Power BI dashboard that we put for this. So the first plot here shows some historical data and compares some of the forecasts that we generate, which we call as AML forecast here, with the CFO forecast and the forecast that we get from the sales organization. And also, for example, compares the error for these different forecasts. So this is sort of an end-to-end pipeline where you started with, I have a snapshot of the data, how can I build a model on top of it? Now I have a model, how can I run that model automatically every week, month, quarter, and see the forecast? And also then, how do I visualize the forecast for which we use Power BI? So coming back to the slides. So here, I have put a very simplistic architecture for for training the models, right? So when you're training the models, you have the data, maybe it's sitting in some local files, or the data is sitting in some SQL server, or a variety of different data sources. You take that data, get it to Azure ML, maybe using the reader interface, or you upload a snapshot of that using the functionality in Azure ML. And within Azure ML, you can shape the data, extract features out of it, using a lot of built-in modules, but then using modules like R, Python, and then once you have extracted the features, you want to build models. For models, again, we have state-of-the-art models, but then you can use R, Python again. And finally, save the model in your workspace. And once you have trained a model, the next piece is that you would want to operationalize the solution, or you would want the solution to run automatically at some cadence, be it weekly, monthly, hourly in some cases. So for that, you can use the Azure Data Factory, which is the tool that I just demoed. So you have the data sitting in some local SQL store. You can use ADF or Azure Data Factory to bring it to Azure, launch an Azure ML batch service, take the forecasts, store the forecasts back in a SQL server on-prem, and also show the forecasts in a Power BI dashboard. So here, I have another demo, another app that we have built using Cortana Analytics for a slightly different scenario. We are essentially interested in forecasting the financial metrics of the Dow Jones 30 companies. So these could be metrics like revenue, net income, EPS. So you could imagine that this having an app like this could be interesting to folks like on the Wall Street who are interested in generating the forecasts for these different companies, that how would a certain company do in the next quarter. So here again, let me go to the Azure ML experiment here. So this is the Azure ML experiment here. Here again, we took the historical snapshot of these financial metrics using an MSN Money API, which for the last 15 years or so gave us the revenue for each of the metrics, the data for each of these companies. So revenue for all the Dow Jones 30 companies, the net income for all those Dow Jones 30 companies. This is all publicly available data. And here again, we brought that to Azure ML. And we are using a lot of built-in modules, but then again, using a lot of R scripts to extract features and build models on that data. But one of the key things here is that in this experiment, we're also bringing in the macroeconomic factors. And this is something that even Matt alluded to, is we have built a pipeline for being able to easily consume macroeconomic data within Azure Machine Learning. So we are bringing that data here, and then using that in conjunction with the historical trends and building models to forecast each of those metrics for each of those companies. And here again, what we have done is created a web service out of it. In this case, the web service that we have created, the API is that you give it the name of the company and the type of metric you would want to forecast. And for that combination, it essentially generates the forecast for the next four quarters. So here we have a few consumption experiences that we have built for this demo to show how easy is it to consume this web service from a variety of different tools. Let's start with Excel. So here we have we're using Excel to call that web service. We have as I said, the API was it expects the company name, the type of the metric, and so we say let us get the total revenue forecast for Home Depot. We are hitting this forecast financial metrics button, which is internally calling the web service that we created out of the experiment that we showed earlier, and it's going to get the forecast for us right here back in Excel. Might take a while. And in this case, we are only, the API is only showing, taking the company name as a, and the type of metric as input, but you could also imagine a situation where you have historical data in Excel. You call the web service from within Excel, send the historical data as a part of the web service call, and get the forecasts back in Excel. So here we have got the result. So here you see we got the results back in Excel. The black here shows the historical data, the green being the forecast, and the red being the 95% confidence interval. So this shows how easy is it to consume these kind of web services, in this case from Excel. Let's try to see if we can consume this. Let me open another. So here we have a web app. It shows that how easy is it to consume this service now from a web app. So here we have a UI where you can select this, the company, the metric. And now it's hitting the same web service again from this UI and essentially getting the forecasts. So there you go. So here we have the forecast for Walmart in this case for the revenue. I think it shows a different view, but I now want to switch gears and show some of the work that we have done integrating this financial forecasting service with DeFacto Global, which is a performance management and planning company. And the objective is, can we use a service that we have created using the Cortana Analytics Suite to generate the revenue forecasts inside DeFacto's financial planning software? And I have a slide here which shows that once we went ahead and built this integration, the architecture was very similar to what I had shared earlier. So you have the data sitting in, you get the data into cloud, call an Azure ML batch service, get the forecast back in the cloud, be it in blob storage or a SQL database, and then now you can show those forecasts in de facto's UI. So to show that, I have with me here Anthony Diana, who is the Chief Operating Officer of de facto Global, to show some of the integration work that we have done with him over the past few months. Anthony?
Thanks, Gagan. There we go. Okay. I just need one slide.
Oh, are you on that deck there?
Yeah, I have one slide and then. Okay. That's okay. We'll find it. All right. So as Gagan said, I'm with de facto Global. We have a performance management application called de facto planning. And if it's a corporate performance management, if you're familiar with that term, means products that do budgeting, planning, forecasting, financial consolidation, reporting. In our case, it's all integrated into one solution. If you're familiar with products like Oracle Hyperion, IBM Cognos, those would be some of our competitors. We happen to be the Microsoft answer to those products. In our case, we are an integrated solution, so all the capabilities that I mentioned are brought into one centralized solution. We are available on-premise, or we're available in the Azure Marketplace as well. In a traditional everything we're talking about today obviously is around the Cortana analytics and around machine learning. But in our traditional customer, people aren't quite there yet, and that's what we're working toward. So they're doing budgeting and forecasting in a traditional manner. So what we're doing is taking them away from the traditional Excel and like Matt said, the linking, the VLOOKUPs, all that kind of thing where you can fat finger things very easily, and at least giving them the ability to enter their data into a centralized database where all that data is captured in one location. And then they can compare their forecasts to their actuals, to their budgets, all in one centralized place. So we're making that interface much easier for them to enter data, to analyze data, and so forth. So in a traditional customer, right, we're gonna have data coming in from really all these different locations. You know, in most cases, it's a general ledger, right? If it's a multinational company, they may have, AX in the US, they may have Sun in Asia, they may have Oracle in Europe, and they need to integrate and consolidate that data in one place and do financial reporting, income statement, balance sheet type stuff off of that. So all the things George talked about as well, the cash flow forecasting, all those kinds of things where traditionally people are using Excel, de facto takes it to the next level and allows them to do that in one centralized place. So within de facto, we could see, a highlight of some of the capabilities we have, the financial intelligence, the ability to do consolidation and business rules, all that is already integrated into the capabilities of de facto. From an interface perspective, everything we do in general is Microsoft-based. We use SQL Server Analysis Services on the back end. From an interface perspective, we're using Excel as our main interface. In the demo we showed today, we'll look at Excel. But we also have a web interface, we have mobile interfaces, and of course you can use tools like Power BI directly on top of de facto, which is really nice. Okay, so what we'll do is we're gonna jump over to the demo so you guys get a feel for it. I'm gonna show you kind of 1A, which is gonna be step one in this is what our customers kind of do today, how we make budgeting or forecasting a little bit easier for them as opposed to just pure Excel. And then we'll show you how we integrate with ML very seamlessly. It's probably going to look too simple in some regards. But we'll look at that, how it comes out. And so let's see how we get over there. All right. So that wasn't too bad. Okay. So what we'll first do is what I call a manual forecast. This is what Matt was alluding to. This is what George was alluding to, right? Where we're entering data in Excel, but now you have to submit all these spreadsheets and integrate them and consolidate them, and you have all those links and so forth. So what de facto does is take it a few steps beyond that, right? So I can sit here and right now, this is a car manufacturer, and this, I could be a, you know, I'm running the New York region and I need to predict how many sales we're gonna have for this coming year in our forecast. So I can sit here and I can enter a value, right? Anything I want and go through this and just enter. And you could picture this, this is just one person entering one location's number of cars. And if I had to go one by one by one, that's gonna be pretty tedious. And if I have to do that, you know, hundreds or thousands of times at every dealership or every location, that's gonna be really tedious, right? So what we try to do is take that a step further and make that a bit easier. So we have the ability to do things like spreading. So I could think, okay, I could enter 10,000 units for my location, and I have the ability to spread that data on various bases. So in this case, I'm gonna spread it based on last year's actuals as a driver, right? So the seasonality, so it's basically, you know, ML very, very, very light is how I would describe it, right? So you're able to enter things with a couple drivers, but just keeping it very simple. But unlike Excel, although I'm in Excel, I have the ability to simply send that data back into DeFacto, in which case now it's going to consolidate that up and store all that information for me in one centralized location. And it will roll all that data up for me and enable me to report on that data. So in this case, I'm looking at units type units data, right? So this is all units based. There's my 10,000 units. But if I refresh this when it comes back from the database, you could see now it's calculated all my revenue and cost of goods as part of that, right? Because we have some formulas in the back end that allows for that. So although it's Excel, it's just really an interface for Excel back to our database to allow you to manage all that. But again, as you can see, this is a step better than Excel and emailing reports around and so forth, but it's not gonna get you to the point where I wanna run a forecast for my whole business based on, you know, a bunch of different variables. And that's where the ML forecast really allows us to go. So if we take it to the next step, we'll show you how we integrate with the ML forecast. So this is gonna look similar to what Goggin showed, where we're showing our DeFacto report, but in this case we have our actuals coming in again from our general ledger or point of sale system, our manual forecast similar to what we just entered, but now we're reporting on that, and then the ML forecast, and then what our accuracy percent is against that. So if I refresh this data, you'll see I haven't loaded the ML forecast yet, but I'm looking at my actuals data, and I could see when I compare it to forecast, you know, our forecast is not super accurate, and that's what we're trying to improve upon, and that's what ML allows you to do. And that's the key, I think, to how we interface with ML. Not only are you getting more accurate, but you're getting more speed, so it's really the best of both worlds when all is said and done. So if I wanted to load this data, what we've done is we've worked with the ML team, and like Goggin showed, we're able to call that web service right from DeFacto. So we're sending the actuals from DeFacto, or any other data that is important to the model, we're sending that from DeFacto through the web service, and then that's how it's teaching the model based on that, and then in this example, we're gonna call a forecast based on that. So with DeFacto, we have the ability to run a business rule, so here I have a run a rule, and I'm gonna run the ML forecast, and what I'm gonna do is say, okay, I wanna generate my ML forecast for, we're gonna do the first two quarters of 2015, and I'm gonna do this for all my companies, okay, or locations or whatever that might be. So I just say okay, and now this is running. So this is gonna go out, pull the ML application, generate the forecast, bring that data down into Excel, into DeFacto, and now we can report on it right in Excel. So this takes a few seconds, as you can see, and with DeFacto, you have the ability to look at your business rules. Everything is already up to date, so that's really quick, and I have the ability now to refresh my data, and you'll see now the ML forecast comes in. Now this is a very simplistic view of things, but the idea here is you can see that we had an 80% accuracy rate versus actuals in January, and as time went on, that accuracy got better and better as the ML model learned more and more about our business, about our data. And again, although I'm looking at this just, well right now I'm looking at it on a total product level, and I'm looking at it on a consolidated level, on a worldwide level. So if you go back to what we did before, in that other report, I close up. I would have to enter data for, like I said, hundreds and hundreds of different combinations to do what I just did in about 10 seconds, right? So, so really, really important. Again, improved accuracy, improved speed, and very easy integration as part of that. And we give you the ability to manage this in one centralized place. Again, you can use Excel, you can use the web interface, you can use your local device, you know, phone, tablet, whatnot. And then, of course, Power BI can sit on top of it as well. Okay, with that, I think we're concluding, but.
I think we're concluding here.
Great, thank you very much for that,
you're welcome,
Anthony. So I think we're here at the end, we're just about on time. So hopefully you were able to see that through machine learning-based forecasts, we can address the issue of accuracy and time, getting these forecasts quicker. We've shown two scenarios. I consider them a build scenario and a buy scenario. So if you want to build your own forecasting capabilities, that's what Goggin showed. If you or your customer is more interested in more of a buy situation, they purchase a solution. There's an ISV in financial planning that has revenue forecasting. And so hopefully you got some value in that. So we have 5 minutes, and we just open it up for Q&A. I see George has also came back, so George is open for Q&A if anyone has any questions.
I'll start because I can speak pretty loudly without the microphone. Arthur Coleman from Axiom. Goggin, this is for you, and you knew I'd pick on you.
So quick question. Have you run your forecaster for the Dow? Obviously, that's something that almost anyone in the stock market would love to have, and there are plenty of forecast tools out there today.
Yeah.
Have you run the results in any way of your forecaster versus any of the ones that are out there to see how similar, different they are, and how much better your predictor is based on historic data, at least?
Yes. We have started this project, and we are now trying to improve the forecasts. We started this project with, say, can we use this to see how far can we get with just publicly available information. So we started our baseline forecasts were just using the historical information. We've now added macroeconomic data and seen improvements. But the next step is now we will plan to compare against the company's own guidance. So that data, we're trying to get hold of that data, and we want to compare our results against the company's own guidance. But we don't have the results to share here yet.
So once you trained your model and publish it, right? Now you are running job daily or monthly to publish or forecast the data. So do you need to train the model with the latest data frequently, or it will publish and train by itself?
No. So what we have, also expose is a retraining API. So you, as you get more data, you can retrain a model and then compare the new model that you have retrained with an existing model on some fresh data to see if the new model that you've trained actually improves your forecasting accuracy. If it does, you can choose to take the new model, else continue with the existing model.
Okay, so it will not train by itself, you have to...
You have to call the retraining API, yeah.
Retraining API and then publish again?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, just a quick question. I've heard this a number of times now, just this, the challenge of accessing external reference data, whether it's weather data or whatever. There's a lot of structured stuff out there. There's a lot of unstructured stuff out there. It seems to me that's one of the bigger challenges in leveraging, you know, external data and trying to understand how that impacts numbers. Can you comment a little bit about what you're doing on that front? I know you've given sort of one example, but I mean, are there... What's happening there, and what do you see as the future around that?
I think we briefly talked about the external data. I think we think ML can drive a lot of value in it being able to take a lot of these external data sets in conjunction with the historical trends and generating the predictions. So we have started with having a pipeline to get the macroeconomic factors to start with. But then we are continuously thinking about what are additional data sets that we can bring in so that it becomes very easy to consume them from within the existing pipelines. We have one example in macroeconomic factors, and we are now thinking about what additional data can we bring in that will help. But some of the additional data sets that we also can bring in is, for example, I think George alluded to it, was, for example, the IDC forecast data, right? So this we are already using some of that in the models here. So.
Quick question. So seems like the machine learning use a lot of financial data, especially internal. So is there any security concern for, you know, for training that model and then you public at the web service, and how to enforce that part?
Yes. So good question. Yeah. The data is, as you would expect, highly sensitive. So we are thinking about how can you know, all the different technologies in Azure be compliant and secure. So all the different technologies within the Cortana Analytics suite. So we are enabling things like logging in via the Active Directory thing. Also, we are now building various controls around encryption. So for example, Azure DB can already have a transparent data encryption so that any data at rest is already encrypted. Of course, all the traffic on the wire is encrypted by default. So yes, we want to allow enterprises to be able to use this Cortana Analytics suite in a secure way. So we are building controls that will help enable this.
That was a big consideration for us because our security folks were focused on what they call high business impact data. And the data that I talked about that we're using is obviously highly confidential. And so some of the features were actually put in there specifically for some of that data for us, particularly when it's encrypted at rest. No one else has that kind of stuff.
Okay. With that, we're at 11:55, exactly on time. So thank you very much. And if you have questions, some of us will be down here mingling.
Thank you.
Thank you.